Welcome to SEC Fan Talk, the show by SEC fans for SEC fans, and your source for all SEC news, stats, scores, and more. Want to be a guest host? Sign up today at secfantalk.com. And now for your hosts, Brandon Bird, Luke Alsup, and Brad Rush.
Welcome back, SEC fans. We hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving. This week, we do not have Brad, as he is out there in the bayou enjoying a little bit of his whatever they do for Thanksgiving down there. Maybe rattlesnake, something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Don't think it's turkey and dressing down there. I think it's more like crawfish etouffee and a little jambalaya for Thanksgiving.
I'll take some jambalaya.
I know, and Brad, there's plenty of beer involved.
PBRs for the hillbilly. PBRs. little natty light.
Oh, yeah. He's got that Tennessee top hat billowing in the Louisiana sun down there. Enjoying him some tall boys and some crawfish.
He plans his haircuts, or lack thereof, for his trip to Louisiana.
Hey, get in where you fit in, right?
We do have myself, Brandon Bird, and Luke Alsup running tonight's show. A little bit of SEC news before we jump into it. As of right now, of course, we are now recording on Sundays due to basketball season starting and needing to not tie up our Tuesday night so that we can watch those, as they are scheduled for every Tuesday night. As of right now, there's no games canceled for this upcoming week. And big news. And we knew what was going to happen regardless of COVID for Derek Mason. Now, the Muschamp thing, of course, a couple weeks ago was a shocker. But Derek Mason finally let go at the University of Vanderbilt. Always told you I've had a very healthy respect for Derek Mason. I think he is great on the defense. Matter of fact, before his head coaching stint, he was basically, you know, wide receiver coach and then some defensive coordinator positions. I think he's great with the defense. As a head coach, he was 27-55 overall, 10-46 in the SEC. He got him to two bowl games during his 7 years, in which he lost both of them. Luke, who do they get to come to Vandy? I mean, they certainly can't afford, nor would Muschamp put his reputation on the line for that. I mean, who do you get someone in there? I mean, can't you even get someone like Eli Drinkwitz, you know, from him coming from Appalachian State to Missouri? Is he someone that Vanderbilt would have had a shot at, or someone like him?
I mean, with Vanderbilt, with the seriousness as they take their football program and all of their sports and athletics, I mean, I say don't even hire any more coaches. Just close your eyes and just pick somebody out of the student body and see if they'd be willing to do it for free tuition. Because, I mean, who in their right mind is going to want to go to Vanderbilt? I mean, nobody knows what kind of coach Derek Mason actually is. Because if they're not going to give him any kind of support, not support him in any way, shape, or form, him or any of the other athletic departments, athletic facilities at Vanderbilt, I mean, what does it matter? No serious coach is going to take that job. I mean, maybe they could step outside the box and try to get somebody that's like semi-famous to come there.
Oh, you know, like, you read my mind. You know who it is, right?
Who's that?
They're already very smart, intelligent. You know, they require a higher GPA. They demand more academically from their students. So they're already champions, right? Why don't you bring in head coach of Champions for Life, 5-star recruit, Mr. Butch Jones?
Hey, why not? I mean, Butch Jones, he's not going to do any worse than Derek Mason did. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, you can't do any worse than what you're doing right now. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't.
You know they can afford him. They don't spend the money on the facilities. They can afford him.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, and here's my problem. We've been saying it all season, and it just the more that this goes on, the more angry that I get that Vanderbilt is sitting there receiving these massive paychecks from the Southeastern Conference, and they're not putting any of that money back into the athletic programs. And it's just an embarrassment. And I've had enough of them. I mean, I would be thrilled if they kicked Vanderbilt out of the conference tomorrow and we brought in somebody like North Carolina or somebody like that. I mean, I've had enough of them. I mean, to me, it's ridiculous that they are continuing to get these, you know, $30, $40, $50 million paychecks off the backs of the SEC schools that are actually producing the funds, and they're not doing anything with it to help their athletics. If they were taking that money and, distributing it evenly, I'm not saying they need to even put it all back into the football program, because I think that's kind of ridiculous. That money should be for all the sports. I'm just tired of the rest of the conference, you know, paying them tens of millions of dollars a year for them not to even put forth any sort of effort whatsoever when it comes to the athletic department.
And of course, with it being Sunday night, the rankings are not out yet, but we suspect that with Auburn's loss, they will drop potentially out of the top 25 altogether. Georgia should rise a spot, and I would love to see Florida overtake Texas A&M. And your thoughts on Ohio just being dropped out completely, considering their cancellation of games?
Yeah, you're already starting to hear some rumblings. Now, I heard it on Saturday morning that, you know, this is what, the second game that Ohio State has canceled. They're not rescheduling it. They're just canceling it to an already shortened season. So now they're down to six games. If they cancel one more, there is no way in hell that anybody could make a rational argument that they deserve to be in the top four if they only play four or five games. I mean, there's just no way. It's I don't care how much they want to build up Justin Fields, how much they want to talk about how great Ohio State is. If they only play four or five games, that's it. They're done. I mean, I would honestly rather see somebody like Notre Dame get in. I would rather see BYU or Cincinnati, somebody like that, get in that wins all their, they play 10 games, win them all. And I would rather see them there than Ohio State, who's going to end up playing four or five games. I mean, that should just be the end of the discussion right there.
I agree. So that's going to jump us into a little bit of an audible question on this right here, since they're kind of go hand in hand. This week's audible: in an ACC championship game coming up, assuming that Trevor Lawrence doesn't have a, you know, second COVID attack, and he comes in and he beats Notre Dame by 30 points, what happens with the college football playoffs at that point? Does Notre Dame drop out and Clemson back in it? What do we see with that?
I mean, you have to have Clemson in there. It's going to be really interesting to see how that ACC championship game plays out, because I can honestly see Clemson with a healthy Trevor Lawrence going in and beating Notre Dame by four touchdowns and it just annihilating them. You know, and if that happens, then what do you do? You know, if that scenario plays itself out, Notre Dame just gets a mud hole stomped into them, you know, then who are the other teams out there, especially if Ohio State only ends up with four or five games? I mean, what happens if Texas A&M wins out the rest of the year and their only loss was to Alabama? Yeah, they got beat pretty handedly, but, you know, they played 10 games and they won nine of them. What do? Do you let somebody like BYU in, or do you let somebody like Cincinnati in? I think that's way more fair.
You let somebody
in. You're gonna have to let somebody in, because
you can't have two ACC teams with a one loss record in the top.
Not coming from
people
that
threw bit. A fit at the couple years ago with Georgia and Alabama, with Alabama as a one loss, you know, to Georgia from the SEC championship. People threw a fit, but that's a SEC. Guys, who else does Notre Dame and Clemson play, really?
Yeah, exactly. And here's a scenario for you. What if in the SEC championship game, Florida only gets beat by Alabama by a last second field goal? You know, and then you're sitting there and are you really going to leave Florida out? I mean, granted, they've got two losses, but to me, if that scenario played out, they deserve to be there way more than somebody than a second ACC team, or somebody like Ohio State that's going to play four games this year, whatever they end up playing. You know, somebody, and this could be a perfect opportunity for one of these smaller programs to be able to make a case to be into that playoff spot. And, you know, it's going to be a travesty, though, if they end up awarding Ohio State one of these four spots, if they play only four or five games, and the one decent team that they played all season, they should have got beat by. And Justin Fields throws three interceptions and only throws for 300 yards. And if it wasn't for Ohio State's running backs running for, you know, over 300 yards or whatever it was against Indiana, they lose that game. Ohio State, there's no way that you could make a logical argument that they should be in there if they only play four or five games.
The SEC is postponing games. Big Ten is canceling games. You know, it makes a huge difference. And to even see, we've been talking the past couple of weeks about quarterback rankings, and seeing Justin Fields in there is just absolutely crazy. I mean, they still have him in second above Kyle Trask.
I mean, yeah, it's insane. I mean, they're treating these QBR rankings like they are like the logic there of behind the whole COVID thing. Like, you look at the numbers and then you hear what people are telling you and you're like, something just doesn't add up here. So I don't know what it is, but I don't see how you can have Justin Fields as one of the especially above Kyle Trask. Are you out of your mind? I mean, that's insanity.
Speaking of Kyle Trask, we'll jump right into last week's game. And once again, adding a little bit of basketball to this, we'll try to speed these processes up. Kentucky visiting Florida. Kentucky now 3-6 after only putting up 10 points to Florida's 34. Florida moving on 7-1. Kyle Trask goes 21 for 27, 256 yards, and three touchdowns. All three of them to returning Mr. Kyle Pitts as he comes back in after sitting out for 10 quarters. They had about 100 yards rushing as a team. Wilson over at Kentucky goes 10 for 18, 62 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. Kentucky with 159 yards on the ground. I'll let you go ahead and talk about this game.
Yeah, Kentucky, their quarterback woes just continue. I mean, Terry Wilson is not good. Joey Gatewood is not good. You know, I'm sure they're phenomenal athletes, but they're not quarterbacks for the SEC. Kentucky had a very solid rushing game, but that only lasted for one half. And then Florida just stacked the box against them and forced Terry Wilson to try to beat them, which he could not do. And, you know, Florida, they just rolled on and, you know, they took care of Kentucky pretty handedly, which I did like to see. Kyle Pitts back and to see him. There was a little bit of talk a couple of days leading up to the game by Mr. Joseph, the corner from Kentucky, saying that he was going to shut Kyle Pitts down, and Florida decided to make an example of that young man this past Saturday by giving Mr. Pitts three touchdowns. So, but yeah, Florida handled, they took care of business handedly, and, you know, they took Trask out about halfway through the fourth quarter. He could have easily thrown for another touchdown. But yeah, that game pretty much went about the way everyone expected it to.
They did. Kentucky shut out first, third, and fourth quarters, only scoring in their 10 points in the second. What an outstanding game for Florida as they prove their dominance in the East. Moving on to the second game, Vanderbilt, the snooze fest of the week. I still haven't made that sound bite for you, Brad, but I promise I'll get on that. Vandy putting up a goose egg and moving to 0-8. Leading, of course, to the firing of Derek Mason. Mizzou puts up 41 points, going they're 4-for-4 now. Bazalack, 30-for-37, 318 yards, 0 touchdowns. The leading SEC AARP member, Roundtree, puts up 160 yards on the ground and 21 points for Mizzou. He is he's definitely stacking it up for his early retirement.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only player Vanderbilt, with a 401k out there. So
Vanderbilt did have his most positive media attention since James Franklin got them their 9-2 season with their star soccer goalie, Miss Fuller. She was scheduled to be the kicker. Unfortunately, Vanderbilt couldn't get close enough to attempt a field goal, so she did get to shake off her nerves and got to kick the second half kickoff. Congratulations to Fuller for becoming the first female to play in the SEC football.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, it was a publicity stunt by Vanderbilt. But at the same time, congratulations to Sarah Fuller. I mean, she handled the whole thing like a champ. And, you know, I was personally really rooting for her. I was hoping Vandy would get into field goal range so she would have a chance to show what she could do. Because then you could say, okay, it is a publicity stunt, but if she kicks a field goal in an actual game, an SEC game, then you have to give the girl credit, you know?
They just couldn't get close enough for her to have an attempt.
Yeah, they couldn't. And you know, whoever's decision that was to go to the women's soccer team and try to make this thing happen, I mean, you got to give them credit. I mean, Vanderbilt had...
Maybe they should go to the women's lacrosse team and get some Vanderbilt football players.
It probably wouldn't hurt. But, you know, I mean, hats off to whoever came up with the idea, because it had more people talking about Vanderbilt football in the last, you know, 24 hours than has been talked about them nationally in the last 24 years. So, you know, hats off to them.
Could you see
that.
The cable statistics on that? Up, down, people just flicking back and forth to see if she's doing it yet. Yeah, up, down, up, down. Then you hear, oh, she's going to kick off the second half. There's this big boost right there. 30 seconds later.
Yeah, it drops off. Yeah.
Gone. And that's that. Moving on to the next one. Auburn 13, Alabama 42. The Iron Bowl ends in absolute victory for Alabama, moving on 8-0. Auburn falling to 5-3 should fall off of the rankings. Other than Bum Nix, Brad, other than Bum Nix entering into the end zone himself into the fourth quarter, no other Auburn players got to celebrate other than their kicker, who made two field goals himself. Bum 23-for-38, 227 yards, and two interceptions. It is so hard to not laugh.
He will forever be known Mac as Jones. Bum Nix to me.
That is it. That is it. If you like the hashtag Bum Nix, please visit our store, secfantalk.com, or Facebook will give you a link to the store and get your Bum Nix t-shirt today. Mac Jones went 18-for-26, 302 yards, 5 touchdowns. All of that yardage, all of those touchdowns, plus another 153 yards on the ground. I believe Najee Harris put one in himself, too. not much to talk about on that. Alabama, 5-3. What should they be, Luke?
Oh, 3-5. At best, 3-5. Auburn.
They did not have the on-payroll officials at this game because it was in Tuscaloosa.
That's true. That's true. I mean, even if they would have had, you know, a whole boatload of officials, it wasn't going to help them in this. This was just a bloodbath. And, you know, Mac Jones and Kyle Trask, they just keep battling it out. You know, I mean, you talk about some serious hype that's going to go into this Alabama game. You're going to have the two best quarterbacks, arguably, in the country. And the two best offenses, arguably, in the
Heisman showdown.
Yeah, it's going to be a Heisman showdown in Atlanta, and it is going to be one hell of a football game because
it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be exciting, and it's going to be a lot of points scored. And you know, I think just a little segue. I think leading up to the SEC championship game, this actually helps both teams. Because both teams are so similar. Their defenses are average to slightly above average, but their offenses are off the charts. So, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, who makes the most stops in that game. And it's going to end up being, you know, a 45-42 game or something like that, I think. Hopefully Florida can pull it out. Florida can absolutely beat Alabama. Their offenses are equal. Whether they will or not is a totally different question.
Their defense better put it together. Dan Mullins, did you pay attention to the sideline?
Oh yeah,
absolute butt chewing. Oh, yeah. That he was giving.
Yeah, he did.
Just before going in at half.
Yeah, and it was deserved because Kentucky was running the ball just up and down the field on Florida. They, you know, Florida did the exact same thing against Vanderbilt the week before. But yeah, it was a severe butt chewing that was well deserved.
Maybe we see a Muschamp hire before the Alabama game down there for defensive coordinator.
Don't get my hopes up.
Moving on to what we predicted would be the battle of the air raid offenses, and it sure was. It ended with a Rebel victory, Ole Miss 31, Mississippi State 24. Mississippi State falling to 2-6. Ole Miss moving ahead to a 500 season at 4-4. The slow start for Mississippi State hurt them absolutely tremendously, not scoring anything in the first quarter. Will Rogers goes 45-61, 440 yards, three touchdowns. Meanwhile, Matt Corral goes 24-36, 385 yards, two touchdowns. But Ole Miss adding the rushing game helped with 163 yards on the ground. That aspect of it that Mississippi State just doesn't have or doesn't want to have, you know, what they're, I guess what Leach has designed it for is just in the air, in the air, in the air. And 440 yards is definitely a whole bunch of passing in the air. They just couldn't hold it out. Kudos to Ole Miss for the win. You know, if he gets, like we've said, if he gets a couple key personnel and key players, Lane Kiffin is going to be a force to reckon with down in Mississippi.
Yeah, he definitely is. He definitely is. And I think you could say the same thing about Mike Leach. You know, if he gets a couple of players, if he can get some of the offensive firepower that he needs to run that offense, they've got a lot of potential there. But Ole Miss is looking really nice right now, and them hiring Lane Kiffin was a fantastic hire so far for Ole Miss, and it was a really exciting game, honestly. It really came down to the wire.
They keep showing improvement. They've got it's between, not so much Tennessee now, but Tennessee, Ole Miss, and LSU for Arch Manning to come up. Ole Miss is looking the best out of the three of those choices right now. So yeah. It's That'll be an interesting pick. Maybe he should. We want him to do it low key, because if he goes up and does it in Times Square, those guys have proven not to be worth a damn.
Yeah, I mean, if Ole Miss can get him, I mean, yeah, watch out.
Speaking of LSU, they drop. LSU only puts up 7 to Texas A&M's 20. 2-5 now for LSU, 5-2 for Texas A&M. Split quarterbacks Finley and Johnson combined go 23 for 47, 231 yards, and Johnson hit a touchdown. 2 interceptions thrown by Finley. They just could not get it offensively together at all. And Mond didn't look any better. He went 11 for 34, 105 yards. Just looked awful out there. Spiller wraps it up for Texas A&M. He had 141 yards and a touchdown. Only a single trip, Luke, into the end zone for each team. You know, who would have known that this game would challenge the Vandy, Missouri for the snooze fest game of the week? A single trip into the end zone for each team. The rest of it is done all by kickers. LSU's just looking horrible. Horrible. God. And now they got players opting out.
Yeah. Now you got Terrence Marshall. He said enough is enough, and I don't blame him one bit. LSU, I knew that they were going to be in for a rough year, but that doesn't even begin to explain the problems that they've got there down in Baton Rouge. You know, you try to roll with the freshman phenom in Finley, and he just looked horrific. There was no way that they could logically keep him into the game. They tried mixing it up with a couple of other quarterbacks, and it just didn't work out for them. So they've got a lot to fix down there. And they're going to have to do it quickly. They're going to give Orgeron a little bit of slack considering what they did last year. But yeah, LSU's got some serious problems moving forward. And, you know, it's I don't, like I said, I don't blame Mr. Marshall for opting out. He had nothing to gain by remaining on for the last two games, and he had everything to lose. So, you know, he's going to be an NFL draft choice. He's probably going to go on the first day. How could you not take him? I mean, the kid's really good. So, smart decision on his part. But, yeah, there is trouble brewing down in the bayou.
That's right. Speaking of maybe not the best of performances by a quarterback, now, why would you have some huge quarterback numbers when you are rushing it and rushing it and rushing it? Matter of fact, 4 rushing touchdowns to give Georgia the win over South Carolina. Georgia 45, South Carolina 16. Georgia moving to 6-2, while Carolina falls coachless to 2-7. Daniels only 10 for 16, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception is what I was referring to. You know, not when you're running it, like I said, when you're running it that well, why pass it? Why take the risk? Especially, you know, he had the one pick on him there. But I'm not sure if JT Daniels is the answer that the Georgia fans need. We've already said a couple weeks ago that Kirby Smart has found himself in a situation where he has a really good team and no quarterbacks to take the snaps, which another year of that, and Georgia fans will not tolerate it.
That's true. But at the same time, you know, JT Daniels, the last, I mean, he was what, 10 for 16, but he still had 160 something yards. And, you know, when you're getting 16 yards plus per completion, that's pretty good. And yeah, like you were saying, they didn't have to throw the ball.
They didn't. Yeah. This game is not one to judge him on and looking at his stats on him, because that's
And not that the was case. And that was the big question with him. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, why wasn't Daniel starting, you know, a couple of weeks ago against Florida? because he's obviously hurt.
And if they go in, they go in there and take him out at the knees, and he's done.
Well, see, that was what a lot of this talk was going on down there in Athens, is because his doctors apparently had cleared him to play by the time that they played Florida. But Kirby Smart and the rest of the Georgia staff had kept talking about how JT Daniels just didn't look good in practice, and he wasn't making the good throws in practice, which is understandable. If he's not performing in practice, why put him in the game? But maybe putting him in that game, maybe he's just one of those guys that just, you know, he's not a practice guy. And, you know, but when you put him out there on game day, you know, he can really spin it. And the kid's got...
We call that opposite Garantano effect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's definitely got a stronger arm than Stetson Bennett. And
oh yeah,
you know,
he can see over the line.
He can see over the line, and he made better decisions. You know, so I think Georgia is okay for the rest of the year with Daniels under center. But yeah, that was South Carolina, they better get their coaching situation fixed, and fixed in a hurry, because every day that they miss out on a head coach is a day that they miss out on an already difficult recruiting trail.
With early signing just around the corner. Moving into the SEC week 11. This is week 11 for the SEC, week 14 of college football. We have we don't have the start times yet, which is weird, other than a couple of the games. But seeing how they're laid out, we'll just assume some of these. Texas A&M at Auburn is more than likely a noon Eastern start time on ESPN. Luke, I like Texas A&M on this, but I only like them by about a point, literally. 21-20 is how I'm feeling with an A&M victory.
Yeah, I think you're right. I could see this going one or two ways. Who knows about this game? Because if Kellen Mond comes
out, it is at Auburn. And they're going to have officials.
Yeah, they're going to have the officials on their side. So they got that going for them. And, you know, I tell you what, if Kellen Mond plays like he did this coming Saturday, if he plays that way against Auburn will beat them. They will beat them, because their defense is not too bad. It's a really tough one to pick, because I mean, I could see Auburn pulling out the upset and beating them by a point or two or three. And on the other hand, if Kellen Mond comes out with a hot hand, you know, they could run Auburn out of the building and beat them by three.
Why do you think I got it as a 1-point game?
But I think if you have a
2-second reaction, what is it? Go.
I'm going to go Texas A&M. I think Kellen Mond turns it around, and I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be a 27-21 ball game, Texas A&M.
The next one that's on the lineup is the first of two CBS game of the week. This one, the 3:30 Eastern, is at Neyland Stadium, Florida at Tennessee. We all know what kind of butt whooping this is going to be. I'm going to be very generous and say Florida pulls this one out 38-10. We know what Kyle Trask is capable of. We know what Kyle Pitts is capable of. We know what Tennessee is not capable of. And Kyle Trask to Kyle Pitts over the middle of the field, where Tennessee has just shown, not for just this year, not for just Pruitt's era, for Botch Jones' era too, they have shown to be atrocious in the middle of the field on defense. And Florida is going to take advantage of them. And 38 points is being very, very generous for Florida.
Yeah, this one's going to be a tough one for Tennessee. They're just not going to have the horses to be able to run with Florida. Maybe Garantano shows out this game and at least keeps it entertaining. I think that's the only way that people are going to continue to watch this game going into the fourth quarter. But, you know, either way, I think Florida's going to put up 40 points on them. I think it's going to be a 41-20 ball game.
20, that's being nice. That's saying that they score 20 means that they don't start Garantano. They throw Bailey in there and let him have it. And that's one of the things that's going to help keep the monkeys off Jeremy Pruitt's back is to get rid of JG. I mean, that's sit him down.
Yeah, and with one thing that Tennessee is going to have going for them is Florida's defense is not that great. I mean, they're actually not that good.
So Eric Gray on the ground with 220 yards, maybe he gives them 20 points.
That's very possible. They could definitely run for 200 yards against Florida because Florida's biggest weakness is their run defense. Their secondary is pretty solid. So I give Florida's secondary the edge over Tennessee's receivers, but when it comes to the ground game, Tennessee definitely has the edge on the ground against Florida's run defense.
Moving on to a game that we are assuming is also going to be at the 3:30 spot, maybe on ESPN Ocho or ESPN 454. You know, they have so many channels. This one definitely an absolute blowout. Maybe Georgia starts their third string and plays them the whole game. This is Vanderbilt traveling down to Athens to play the Georgia Bulldogs. I've got this thing as Georgia 41-7. Not much to talk about on this. Have an interim head coach in there for Vandy on a season that is already absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, there's no hope for Vandy on this one. They might as well just save the gas money and just go ahead and forfeit this one because, I mean, yeah, this is going to be a beating. I don't even see Vandy even scoring 7 points against Georgia's defense. You know, I think it's going to be – I like that 41 points. I think it's going to be a 40 – I honestly think it's going to be – I'm going to call it right now 41-0. And Vanderbilt's not going to score a point. And I honestly think it depends on how Kirby plays this. He might want to see what JT Daniels has really got. And if he turns that kid loose
– Let him air it out.
Right. Yeah, if he turns him loose –
And he's known for throwing an interception or two. So if he does that at the 20-yard line, I give him 7 because of a pick six. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's possible. It's possible. And who knows, Vandy could come out and surprise us and put 17 points on the board. But either way, they're going to get throttled either way. So.
To the next one, which is usually a 4 o'clock. The next one, and probably on SEC Network, is South Carolina at Kentucky. Based on these two teams, I kind of look at them as both they're kind of like the same team. It's a nothing major. Maybe the snooze fest game right here. Maybe we'll see how it plays out. I am going to pick Kentucky over this because they have a head coach who has continuously improved the program year by year. But I'm only giving them the win by 7. My pick on this is Kentucky 14-7.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good pick. I'm like you. I think Kentucky will do enough to win this game. I mean, South Carolina, they're just in so much trouble. And Kentucky does have a pretty good defense, especially in that secondary is pretty good. So Colin Hill's going to have a hard time getting yards. And so Kentucky's probably just going to stack the box and try to stop the run. But it's going to be an ugly game. They're probably going to have, I'm going to guess, about 61 punts in this game. So I would take Kentucky. I'm going to take Kentucky 17-9 over South Carolina.
Moving us to, like I said, the game times are to be determined as of Sunday evening. This would normally be the 7 o'clock game spot right here. Is Arkansas at Missouri. You know, this could turn out to be one of the best games of the week, even though we have one more to talk about. That is the primetime game of the week. This one could be the most exciting game. Arkansas proving with Felipe Franks to have the deep ball and give some exciting offense. And their defense, you know, leading the league in interceptions. I think it'll be an interesting game. Unfortunately, it being played at Mizzou, with whom's standard of college stadiums is right alongside of Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I do pick Arkansas to win this by a close margin of 28-24.
I absolutely agree with you. I think this is going to be the game of the weekend. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think Felipe Franks has a really good game. And Connor Bazelak has a good game too. So I think there's going to be points put up on the board. It's going to be entertaining to watch. And I think you're going to see numerous lead changes in this game. And, I'm also going to take Arkansas. I'm going to say it's going to be a 31-28 ball game, Arkansas.
And now for our second CBS game of the week. This one is a 8 o'clock Eastern game at LSU down in the Bayou. Alabama travels to LSU. And I've already got mine written down here. Well, let me hear yours first, we'll see how close we are on that. I know who you're picking. I just want to hear what you think the score is going to be.
Well, it depends. Does the scoreboard reach triple digits? Because that might be a possibility. I mean, this one's going to be, God, this one's going to be brutal. I mean,
they have to just start keeping quantity of touchdowns and use a multiplier.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Maybe like Oregon State and Stanford is playing. That'll give us a better game or something. But yeah, this is just going to be murder ball at its finest. And they're going to hang at least 50 on them. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 50-13. I mean, it's going to be brutal.
We were close on that pick. I have Alabama 42, LSU 7. A notable game outside of the SEC to watch this weekend, and about the only notable game that I could run across, is Wisconsin and Indiana, who's looking very, very good this year. So if you find yourself not entertained with Alabama and LSU or Vanderbilt and Georgia, you could always watch the one other game outside of the SEC that seems like it's going to be a good one this week. One last thing before we sign off for the end is a little bit of basketball. Of course, Tennessee and Florida both not playing right now. The men's. Arkansas with a little bit more positive news from their sports program, as they lead the conference with a 2-0 record, followed by a bunch of people with just one game that they played last week, and sitting 1-0 is Alabama, Missouri, Georgia, A&M, and Vanderbilt. Auburn and Kentucky both sit at 1-1. Kentucky with that loss to Richmond, which was very unexpected, especially coming in 1-1 to this week's Tuesday night game where they play Kansas, ranked number 6. The women's SEC basketball. On the other hand, South Carolina, number one in the nation, is leading 3-0. Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, A&M, Kentucky, all 2-0 in women's basketball. Florida, Missouri, Mississippi State, and Tennessee, 1-0. Arkansas, 3-1. And then that's about all there was. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt have yet to play. The LSU ladies have fallen twice. Basketball starting off siding. It's going to be weird to see how these schedules go. They have pretty much locked them all up after these first couple weeks here of some out-of-conference play. They're going to pretty much lock them into just inter-conference and play each other a handful of times to finish out the season. So it'll be very weird with that and how the tournament is going to go this year. My question is, Luke, are you... What are we, a month? We're right, sitting right at a month before football is done. I know you like to hop on the recruiting trail and see how things are going, and it looks like we're going to have more of a coaching carousel, or at least talk about who is looking at hiring whom, which we didn't think we were going to have at the end of the football season. Basketball may show up to be a little bit more boring this year with just interconference play. You know, you don't get the big Kentucky and Duke games and so forth and Virginia games and some of the ones that, like I said, were scheduled early on with like Tennessee and Gonzaga. Looks like they'll either be canceled or postponed at this time.
Yeah, you could, you know, when it comes to football, yeah, recruiting, National Signing Day coming up in just a few months, and I'm going to be keeping a close eye on all the SEC teams and hopefully be able to give some consistent updates on where each team stands heading into signing day. There's going to be Derek Mason is not going to be the last coach fired at the end of this season. You know, the rumblings now are, is Tom Herman going to be out at Texas, and are they going to back the Wells Fargo truck up to Urban Meyer's house to see if they can't tempt him to come to Texas? That could be something to look at moving forward, because I think Tom Herman's time is just about come to an end in Texas. So that's something that you can keep an eye on. Other than that, yeah, the basketball is, you know, it is what it is. If they're just gonna keep limiting how many games and where these kids can play, then there's only so much excitement that you're going to see. Hopefully, all the excitement's going to be coming out of the ACC with Duke and North Carolina. So, and Virginia. So, it's going to be an interesting year for SEC basketball this year. Kentucky, I'm sure, is going to have a very good basketball team like they normally have. Might take them a little while to get the kinks out, but they should be just fine. And you know, South Carolina's women's team, I mean, Staley, she's put together a heck of a program in Columbia. So hats off to her, because South Carolina, they need all the good publicity they can get, and
they probably need positive to come with their sports.
Yeah, so it's probably the only place that's going to come from is the women's basketball team for the foreseeable future out of South Carolina.
Well, we're going to wrap it up for episode 15, week 11 of the SEC. I hate that we're calling out our picks for December 5th already. It just, where has the season gone? Luckily, we've got games moving out to like December 19th for some makeup games. So we got a little bit more of regular season football. Guys, if you're interested to be a guest host, sign up at secfantalk.com. Guest hosts have the option of joining in with this show, or if you want to do a show about your specific team, we can do that. I personally host the Tennessee Vols Fan Talk. We got Luke here that does the Florida Gator Chomp Fan Talk. And we can get you can get on that and just spend the whole segment talking about your team and whatever topics that that you want to talk about. Be sure to follow us at Twitter at SEC Fan Talk. The same for Instagram and Facebook. For myself, Brandon Bird, Mr. Brad Rush, who was not here tonight, could have used a little bit of your hillbilly quips there tonight. And for Luke Alsop, Luke, as always, I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. It was a lot of fun. Go Gators and Trask for Heisman.
Trask is for Heisman. And speaking of, stop by the shop at SEC Fan Talk today and get your Trask for Heisman t-shirt, available in both short sleeve and long sleeve, depending on the weather that you're at. And we should be throwing a little December sale on that, so check that out. If you have an idea for a little shirt like a hashtag Bum Knicks, let us know. We'll get something made for you. Join the show, and we'll send you over a shirt. So, who gets to pick up Brad's famous sign-off? You going to pick it up?
I guess I can. Well, SEC, it just means more.
Thanks, everyone.